Hey everybody, this is Scott, and you're listening to Food for Thought for 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The focal passage for the sermon is going to be verses 1 through 25, but I think Pastor Michael's also going to include 26 through 40 in that as well. So the whole chapter is what we'll cover, and if you don't have that chapter in mind right now, then I would encourage you to go read it and then come back just to make the most of this time together. So in terms of context, this chapter opens up with Paul saying, hey, pursue love, earnestly desire the gifts, which is a fun, honestly, it's just a fun recap of chapter 13 and chapter 12. In chapter 13, he literally tells us to pursue love. And in chapter 12, it's all about desiring the gifts and what the gifts are. And so he basically says, hey, because of that, he builds off of that and talks about how this is going to then practically work itself out in the local church. How should the gifts actually show up when God's people are gathered together? Again, this is the context that Paul has in mind as he's talking about, not just individual people using individual gifts, but what does it look like when the church is together for the local church to use their gifts. He gives particular attention here in this chapter to the gifts of prophecy and tongues. There's a few reasons for that. One, these gifts are just, they're more public, and so they might wield a greater influence in terms of perception. They might have a greater ripple effect, immediate ripple effect, and so for better or worse. And so that's one reason he probably hits on these things. Secondly, there seems to be some disorder present in the Corinthian church at that point in time, where they weren't necessarily using their gifts for innocent, good, God-fearing church building up reasons, but they're being arrogant and prideful in the way that they use these gifts. And then thirdly, prophecy and tongues, they serve as really good foils for one another in terms of building up the church. Prophecy is something that, you know, is kind of immediately understandable, meaningful, intelligible by people. But tongues, without an interpreter, people don't know what's going on. And so they're both speaking gifts. They're both public, prominent. You might say that they're more miraculous in some ways. And yet they serve as good contrasts to each other because one is immediately helpful to the people that are hearing it, and the other is not, apart from interpretation. So I'll go into that. If you refer to the Google Docs, there's definitions of prophecy and tongues, and there's an explanation of chapter 14 and some of the stuff that we see here. So I'll let you guys go look at that. In terms of content that we see here in this chapter, first we see that the greatest gifts are the ones that build others up. And the hint here is that all of the gifts can do that. So they can all be the greatest gifts in some ways. He uses the example, again, of prophecy and tongues here. And he says that prophecy is greater than tongues. But he says, unless there is an interpreter present to actually make what's being said understandable to all who are around. So really, it's all about the building up of the church. If we're using our gifts in such a way that builds up the people around us, then that's the greatest gift. And so they can all be used in such a way. And our eagerness for the gifts, and he's told us several times, desire the gifts. Our eagerness for the gifts, he said, should be the same thing as our eagerness for building up the church. So as eager as we are to see other people built up, that should be our eagerness for spiritual gifts. Secondly, people can't be built up by what they don't understand. In other words, these gifts, they have to be used in an intelligible, meaningful, orderly way. He talks about the spirit and the mind and how we can operate in the gifts just simply in our spirit or in our mind or both. And while both are good, he doesn't say one is worse than the other. He does say that in terms of, man, being able to build up other people, if he doesn't even know what he's saying when he's speaking in tongues, then how is that going to be helpful to anyone else if someone can't explain that to the people that are around him or to himself? He said he would rather speak in his mind prophecy, stuff that is clear and understandable by the people around them. So so both are good. These are separate things, and yet it's best when both are engaged in some way, shape, or form. And so he wants us to be mindful of both, not just other believers, but non-believers as well. He doesn't want the gatherings, the expressions of the gifts while God's people are gathered together to be confusing. He wants it to be orderly so that when folks show up, they don't think that we're all crazy and don't understand what we're doing. Because at the end of the day, if we have people showing up, we want Christians to be built up in Christ, and we want people who aren't in Christ to know Christ. And so if they just hear us talking in crazy languages, or it's confusing and they don't know what's going on, then that's we are keeping them under judgment, really. That's the sign of judgment for unbelievers, that tongues is because they can't understand what's going on. And so we are literally keeping them in judgment, under God's judgment, because we're not clearly revealing to them the gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ. So it's a really big deal for us to be intelligible, to be orderly, for what we do to be meaningful to everyone who gathers with us on a Sunday morning in a community group when we are gathered together. That's just really, really, really important. And so, yeah, the greatest gifts are those that that build up others. People can't be built up by what they don't understand. And then thirdly, we want them to understand the truth that convicts, converts, and matures. Right, this should end up, the use of the gifts should culminate in people worshiping God, in people worshiping Jesus, extolling his name, exalting Jesus, declaring that, honestly, God is among us, that he is at work and alive among us. That is the crazy thing, is that in the midst of order, in the midst of trying to make sure that this happens in some kind of structured way, the heart of that is not this crazy, chaotic God that just kind of does whatever he wants to, but it's this God who has made presence in the orderliness of the church, in the love that the church has for each other, in the way that it's building itself up, in the proclamation, the clear proclamation of truth in the gospel that can convict people of their sin, Christians and non-Christians, that can convert non-Christians to belief in Jesus, and that can mature people who already believe in Jesus, that they might say, you know what, God actually is among us. Not the pagan gods, not these mute idols or anything like that, but this one real God, Yahweh, Father, Son, Spirit, that he is alive and well and active among his people. And so we're going to worship him in that way. That's a pretty cool thing. So the gifts get to be, honestly, evidence of God's presence with his people that lends itself to just stirring up worship. So that's the content. The greatest gifts are the ones that build up others. People can't be built up by what they don't understand. And we want them to understand the truth that convicts, converts, and matures, ultimately culminating in worship. So some questions you can ask here around this stuff is, what would it look like for folks to use their gifts in the church? You may have seen this happen at the Village before or in other churches, but what would it look like, maybe in your community group or maybe here at the Village, for us to use our gifts? We will lead in that. The elders will help facilitate that and make that happen. But even just to imagine what that could be like in an orderly way on a Sunday morning, what could that look like? That's something that we want to, it's a culture that we want to build together, and an order that we want to build together, according to the scriptures, under the leadership of the elders, but with you all. What would that look like for the Village Church to use, express, desire, pray for the gifts when we gather together? How do your own gifts, how do they make Jesus known in an understandable way? How do they serve as evidence of God's presence among his church or in your life? Every gift should do that. And if we're not mindful of how our gifting or the way that we love to serve the church, to build up people, if we're not sure in our mind, if we can't clearly say this is how this points to Jesus, how this connects with making, maturing, and multiplying disciples, then there's a disconnect there. There's a miss there. We get to know how what we're doing reflects God's presence, points people to the good news of the gospel. We should know these things. And so what does it look like for your own giftings? Are we missing out on something without prophecy and tongues and these supernatural gifts? Do you feel like there's something that we're missing in the church? And maybe we are. Why not? How would you feel if the gifts were being used? Would that be weird for you? Or would that be really exciting? Like, just what would that even be like? Can you even imagine that? Why is the mind being able to meaningfully, intelligibly communicate things, the order of the church? Why is this stuff so important to Paul? And why should that be so important to even our groups? And why we do what we do and what we do when we gather together? Do we have a mindfulness of, yes, the believer, but also the unbeliever? Do we have a mindfulness of the believers that come from different perspectives? And lastly, just kind of how would we know if the gifts were being used rightly in our church? What would the evidence of that be, or what would that look like according to what Paul writes here in chapter 14? So in terms of the vision that we get to have for one another as disciples, man, we get to look for ways to build up the church. We get to desire the gifts, to pursue love. But at the end of the day, man, we get to hope that God shows up, that what we contribute, how we participate, is evidence of God's presence among his people. And we can be confident that he is among his people because he has already come to his people in Jesus. God's already come to you in Christ. He's already indwelling you by the Spirit. And so God has shown up. We simply get to ask him to lead us in making himself known in speech and in service by receiving the gift of the gospel, of his love, and letting other people enjoy the benefits of that as well. And so there is one thing that I will point you to, because in chapter 14, there is a little section about women and what Paul says to women, and it seems to say that he doesn't want them to talk and speak, and it's shameful for a woman to speak in the church. I have dealt with that in in the Google Doc that I will send you, or that I have already sent you, depending on when you're listening to this. There's a whole page on that. There's certainly more to be said, and it doesn't leave us with a clear-cut answer, but there are some stuff to understand about what Paul is saying and what he is definitely not saying in relation to that passage. So you should have questions if you read that. That should hit you weird or different. And if you've not wrestled with that, then you can go there. Or if you have people that in your group that have questions about that, you can also share that stuff with them too. So I just wanted to let you know that's there. We've addressed that, and also willing to talk more about that if you guys have questions. So thanks, guys. Hope this is helpful. And this actually wraps up 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Thanks. Appreciate you guys.